You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
On the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes,
we have Warfighter Tobacco Company. We are going over today. You asked for it, and here we are to fool one another again. So what's in the box, Benjamin?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Barbara.
What's this?
So today we'll be going over the line from Warfighter. It includes the 50 cal Garrison, a Toro 6x52, the 7.62 millimeter Field, which is a 6x52 Toro, the 5.56 millimeter Garrison, also in a, yep, you guessed it, Toro 6x52.
That's Toro?
100%. And their Night Shift Toro,
Toro,
6x50 on this one. So took
that
a little bit off the girth there.
Does that really count?
Yeah! You gotta trim that girth sometimes.
Sometimes.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to this Smokes episode where everything life is good is worth this. Whoa, I can't talk today. Where everything good in life is worth is discussing. Can anyone just run that
Who
back?
Wrote this?
Can I just run that? Okay. Edit mark there. Welcome to this Smokes episode where everything good in life is worth discussing.
Nailed it. Let's just start. Start over for a third time, Barger.
Yeah, I got it. All right. To my left here is good old boy Rich.
How do?
Good old boy Benjamin.
Back like I never left.
And back on the ones and twos is good old boy Mike.
In spite of multiple injunctions, I'm still returning.
Can't get away from them. Here we are, the best thing at 2 a.m. right before return. I just can't talk today. Guys, it's been a long week.
Morning.
We are the best thing on at 2 a.m. right before reruns of Japan's Total Wipeout.
Ooh.
And just after.
Is that in black and white?
It sometimes. Depends on where you're at in Canada.
Okay. Is it overdubbed in English?
It's actually overdubbed in Spanish.
Portuguese.
Yeah,
Portuguese.
It's overdubbed in Spanish.
I'm not going to ask you how many gummies were involved prior to that decision.
I couldn't make the remote change it, so I learned Spanish that night.
I can't feel my thumb, so I can't find the TV.
Well, we're on just before that and just after. Does this look infected?
Favorite show.
Yeah,
love that show.
For sure.
As you know, and I hope you know, our smoke segments are all about fun and cigars. And, well, anything that's smoked, really.
Definitely not reading words on a piece of
paper.
That's
right. Tough. I can't read today. And for today's segment, drum roll, please.
Let's see here. I do have a drum roll somewhere.
Yep, there.
There it is.
We have Warfighter Tobacco Company. We are going over today. You asked for it, and here we are to fool one another again. So what's in the box, Benjamin?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Barbara.
What's this?
So today we'll be going over the line from Warfighter. It includes the 50 cal Garrison, a Toro 6x52, the 7.62 millimeter Field, which is a 6x52 Toro, the 5.56 millimeter Garrison, also in a, yep, you guessed it, Toro 6x52.
That's Toro?
100%. And their Night Shift Toro,
Toro.
6x50 on this one. So took a little bit off the girth there.
Does that really count?
Less. Yeah!
You got to trim that girth sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. Well, before we get started, I wanted to thank John Simmons and his team for making this episode happen today. So strap on and hang in tight. We're going to have fun today. But don't worry. If you miss anything, you can download the full episode from anywhere you can stream podcast. But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, remember the buddy system. Where is your buddy? Still one of my all-time favorite movies. If you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered on our Cigar 101 episode, where all the cigar speak can be decoded. Just search for Sip Suds Smokes Cigars 101, and that episode should pop right up. Follow the link, and you can also follow the link in our show notes below.
Is that our episode with sign language?
That is, and that's also dubbed in Spanish. It's
fun. I think I got the sign language that Canadians use with us, yeah. You know, uh-huh. Which is usually a gesture with one finger.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, good old boy Rich gets the honors of going over our smokes rating today. So, Rich.
Yeah. So, we'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes ratings plus our signature sounds. Here are the ratings now. A 1 would be this sucked even before it was lit. Or as I like to say, it sucks so bad it smokes itself. Number 2, at least I lit it. And number 3 would be I'd smoke this one again. Number 4, how much you want for them?
Magnificent.
And a 5, finally, where are they? I need a box.
But before we get started on this reviews here, I wanted to take a bit and touch on his company.
You're going to touch on his company?
Yeah, I'm going to touch on his company, all of them.
Do you use hand sanitizer with that?
Sometimes both hands.
Latex gloves.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's something else that comes in a pumpable bottle, I think.
Lubriderm, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So John and his company, man, they're veteran-owned and operated.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thank you guys for your service. So John and his partner, Scott, served together in Iraq from 2003 to 2004 with the 327th Infantry out of Fort Campbell in the 101st Airborne Division, where John was a machine gunner and Scott was a sniper. Could you imagine being a sniper out there smoking cigars?
Probably not. That's probably wasn't smoking cigars.
Yeah, I think that's probably something waited till they were back in base.
You can imagine, though. In total, John served 5 years and Scott just shy of 10. Both were at one time the 11B rank. Their day-to-day ops guy is Dave, whose prior was Air Force. Justin, their director of propaganda. I love that. Propaganda, it was in the Army Infantry as well. And I just wanted to give you guys a little backstory on them. And from us to you guys, thank you all for your service and your sacrifice.
Yes. If you don't hear anything else that we're going to say today, that would be the one thing that hopefully you'll take away, which is our gratitude for your service.
We appreciate you guys and everything you've done, for sure. So first up, we're going to just dive into the deep end. We're going to go with the night shift. Rich, what do you know about the night shift?
So we own the night has become the motto of those war fighters, operators, first responders, and the rest of those unsung American who work the night shift to keep America running smoothly while the rest of us sleep.
Put the mic in your mouth.
I can't have it there and read at the same time.
Rich is trying to find the microphone. Although he is talking to the other people in Venezuela, that is way over on the other side of the planet. So.
I need a better setup here. Yes, this is my good eye.
Okay. Google glasses or something. Jesus. I'm just scrolling your eye and you can read it.
I'm old. Leave me alone.
Teleprompter.
If you've missed what's going on here, first off, there are words on a page that Parker cannot read.
Yeah, so, I can't read today.
I just can't see them.
The second thing is that there are words on a page that Rich cannot find.
No.
And he cannot chew gum, find his microphone, and read words on a page all at the same time.
I swear we've done this before.
Really?
I promise.
Oh, my God.
Get it together, okay. Guys.
It's cold today.
Night shift offered in a 6x50. This medium-bodied cigar utilizes an Ecuadorian Habano Oscura Skuro wrapper. Quit the looks. An Indonesian binder and a Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. The resulting smoke provides contrasting notes of pepper, leather, citrus, and fruits. A small band of candela circles the cap, as a subtle nod to the glorious green hue that emanates from the advanced infrared night vision optics used so effectively in the War on Terror. So the wrapper, we've said it's an Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro. The filler is Nicaraguan. The binder is Indonesian. So first, my thoughts. I love this cigar.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I liked about it, it has a it's a medium body.
The Ecuadorian.
Is that what it says? Ecuadorian. Hey.
Ecuadorian.
That's how we say it out in Pegram.
That's my cousin, Ecuadorian.
Yeah. Now, boy, if I'm going to let you into the country, I want you to look at me and tell me you ain't one of them Ecuadorians. Yeah.
I can't read. You can't speak. It's fine.
Just whatever.
It's fine.
That's too much fun. Too much fun.
So tell me about it. What'd you write?
Here in Arkansas, we're going to put you on a bus and put you back to Texas.
That's right. Take you back to Ecuador.
Ecuadorian. Yeah.
So, no, it has this that sweet cedar taste that I love so much. That's kind of what I thought about it. It was a great burn. Very consistent. Good ash. Everything I liked about it. Can't say too many things.
Did you smoke it with a band on or band off?
Well,
it was a big band. It's got a big band on it. Look
you
at
can't
that thing.
Smoke it much with the band on, but it, yeah, so.
Probably one of my top favorite things about the cigar is the packaging.
Yeah.
This thing looks cool.
Oh, this one is the green.
That's right. Yeah.
If you like this one, they got one called Dumpster Fire that I saw send us some. Yeah. That thing looks awesome.
Really? So did it glow in the dark?
Dumpster box?
It doesn't glow in the dark, like which
only when
take
you're
notes, that would be cool factor up.
Only when you're drawn
another
in.
Step.
Oh, glow in the dark?
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd be
awesome.
pretty rad.
Where the tobacco leaves actually glow.
You still couldn't find the words on the piece of paper.
You can't make glowing tobacco leaves. You wouldn't want to smoke that.
You see like that, you know, that green hue that they talk about in the nightshade wrapper, or night shift wrapper, sorry. And then that little
pop of candela
right there at the cap.
Yeah.
Just kind of ties everything together. Like, really good looking smoke. Which I think is one of those things, you know, see it on the shelf, you're gravitated towards it because you're like, oh, man, that looks pretty cool. And then, you know, obviously, if you're into, you know, thinking all of our service members out there and into, you know, war history and all those type of things, like this thing pops right off the shelf.
Yeah.
Well, so I like the first part of the conversation that you and I were having, Benjamin, is that this is a lot of combinations that you don't routinely find. And so I think that was the thing that stood out across a lot of this product line is just you don't find a lot of these, you know, particular combos.
This one's actually the most straightforward out of the entire lineup.
So, you know, having a Habano Squirrel, you know, wrapper with a Nika and Indonesian binder. Yes, there are definitely, you know, some other people that have that combo. But, you know, I don't know, as far as, you know, the packaging itself, I like the fact that it was fairly simple and they didn't have a secondary band. So, yeah.
Oh, I loved it. We'll be right back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back. I hope you buy everything in the ads, because that's what helps us. So Mike has a couple things he wants to say about the night shift. So, Mike, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, so here's some of the notes that I took while I was enjoying the night shift from Warfighter.
It's time for war! Yeah.
So there was kind of some pepper in the lead, kind of brighter and more vibrant woodiness, you know, kind of behind that. And then there's this creaminess that was kind of in the background. You know, the Habano Oscuro just never showed up for me. You know, I love that wrapper, and when it's well done, you know, I'm like, okay, game on, you know. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I was kind of like, meh, meh. You know?
I thought it had that hint of spice that just I like the cigar as well. So I have the spicy notes. The everything I got out of it was great.
I think it was a little bit more mellow, not as spicy, but I did feel the spice. I had the spice.
I would give this cigar to my third least favorite kinda cousin.
Okay.
So
number three. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna give it a 3.
All righty.
Smokes rating of 3. It's 3 out of 5 for those who don't know us. Up next, we got the 7.62 Field Sumatra. And I think Benjamin's going to take that away.
Yeah, 7.62 millimeter Field Sumatra, a very consistent smoke throughout. Floral notes, some leather and earth tones don't overpower. Hints of burnt marshmallow and sugar give a pleasant sweetness. Very pleasant retrohale. Good smoke any time of the day. This one is wrapper Indonesian Sumatra. Binder is Habano. Filler is Habano from Esteli, Habano from Condega, and Dominican Republic. And so that really leads into what we're talking about with these blends. The filler specifically.
It needs a little bit of extra something there.
You can tell they paid a lot of attention to the filler and where they source those tobaccos from and kind of blended some different regions together,
right,
which would definitely give you the implication that this is, you know, something that bodes a lot of complexity. There's a lot of thought that goes into these blends that they put together. And I would consider this to be one of their baseline smokes.
Yeah, it's for sure baseline. Yep. But, I mean, they definitely have a distinct palate, I think.
Yeah, well, and I mean baseline from, like, it's a foundational smoke for them, right? They're always going to put out the Sumatra, the Connecticut, the Maduro,
those kind of styles
and Shader wrappers, 100%.
Yeah.
And this thing was solid. The Sumatra was there for me, that cool, like, kind of creamy vibe that you get from it.
Yeah. Subtle white peppery.
Yeah, so some cool peppery notes. Yeah. That marshmallow, kind of leathery, oaky is on the retrohale a bit. But my favorite thing, and what I would commend them the most about for all of these smokes, no burn issues. These things burn laser sharp all the way through, so they're very well constructed.
100%.
They also produce a decent amount of smoke too, so it's got a big, you know, smoking experience to it.
Big plume.
I'll echo that element about quality. I mean, literally, those are the words on my review. Quite possibly the best burn line I've ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm a huge quality nerd. So if I start getting burn wonky, if I start getting
Canoe issues
or starts getting squishy, I'm done. And I'll say I smoked all of these down to the nub. I mean, it stayed consistent all the way down through it.
Yeah, and that was not true of just this stick. There was something that was,
across
the vast majority of the product line, really great quality.
When we talked about it a little bit up front, where, you know, everything that we got in this lineup was in a Toro size, and fun fact, they cover every vitola through their core line. So I would really enjoy this. I would enjoy to revisit it.
Like a petite Lancero?
I knew it.
Bingo.
They do one called the Minuteman, which is like a 4x44, just like a little dog walker, petite Corona, whatever you want to call it. And I think that would have been a really cool way to revisit this brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one as well. I did have a little bit of issue with it, but it was probably more of my environment than anything else, because I had to put, but
hostile
again,
environment.
Yeah, hostile. Yeah, well, you know, when you're smoking in the enemy territory, sometimes you have to relight a little bit. But no, I had a good experience with all of them, like you guys said, really good construction.
Yeah,
I found this one I found it pretty good, solid. This is something definitely I'd pick up again. But
you think they flicked one of these lit into like a barrel of gasoline?
I hope so.
Set off the like slow mo fireball that they walk away from,
like a really cool advertisement where it's just like blowing up a car and they're walking towards it.
Hey, Daryl, watch this!
It's like 7.62 millimeter field. Yes, there it goes.
I'll show you burn line, boy.
Nailed it.
You know, hang on a second.
It's time for war.
Well, let's give our take on this, guys. Oh, what do you think?
I'm not there yet, man. So. No? I didn't get to talk about it. Okay. I had a couple of things to add.
Sorry. All right, well, go ahead.
Yeah, so some other things here in my review. Bit spicy, woody up front. I'm sorry, did we say wood?
It's like Pee-wee's Playhouse every time you say wood.
You know, but I think you would expect that, you know, with this much, you know, Nicaragua kind of going on. And it wasn't a puro, you know, through and through. And when I was kind of looking at that filler, I was like, why would you do that? You know, are you trying to add complexity, or are you trying to balance out something that you picked early on and you're like, well, this is just not right.
Maybe they got a deal on it.
Exactly. I was kind of thinking that, you know, that's kind of they ran into a good deal and they're like, oh, we can mellow this out and make it, you know, sing the way we want to. Cause I was just looking at this kitchen sink, you know, concept, you know, in the filler itself and going, why are you doing that? And I kept on waiting for something to kind of jump out at me and going, oh, well, that's why they did it. And that was just never the case. But it did kind of mellow out after the first ash, but big, huge plumes of smoke, you know, coming off of this for sure.
Yeah.
And definitely a lot more wood. Yeah. But all in all, it was kind of fell in that category where, you know, at, you know, my third best cousin, you know, his next birthday, I'd give him this other stick as well. So.
Well, we're going to go with fours.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Our rating here for the. Yeah. Warfighter
Magnificent
7.62 is a 4 rating. So there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, up next is the 5.56 millimeter. And that is Mike's going to take that away.
Yeah. So this is another stick here in the Warfighter category. We're going to have our story time.
Before we take this away, let's just have a little conversation about
cigar lounge etiquette.
We were discussing this before. Post here, and we have some things to say to you people out there. And listen well.
Listen up.
Yeah.
Listen well.
Well, you know, so we all smoke in different places and different times of the year, and I mean, both Benjamin and Barger, they have a place in their house that, you know, they can go and,
it's called my,
you know,
house.
Yeah, and smoke in.
But, I do smoke in the garage.
Yeah, Rich and I don't. We don't smoke in our homes themselves. So we usually have to go outside or somewhere else, you know. And, you know, we're kind of at the behest of weather, you know, to make that decision. So we definitely, you know, get around and check out, you know, some cigar lounges. And I actually like that, you know, because I'm out there, you know, with the consumer base. I get to see, you know, what are some of the things that, you know, they're seeing, you know, what works for them, more importantly, what doesn't work. And, but I tell you, just, you know, it is really just all over the place. And it's not just unique to, you know, one city. I mean, I really see a lot of variability, you know, all over the place. And even globally, you know, just, you know, the experience that people have in, you know, cigar lounges can just have all these huge swings. I wish there was like a, you know, almost a, hey, if you want to have a really great cigar lounge, hit these five things, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Ventilation.
At the top of the list, absolutely, you know, and one of the cigar shops that Rich and I go to, they've had the same air handling system since Elvis was, you know.
Like the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean Elvis used to go there.
Yeah. It's a box fan in a window, right?
Yeah. And it's right next to Cletus in the reclining chair.
I think that would be a huge improvement.
Okay. Well, I think the box fan is blowing into the cigar lounge, right, and not out.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, this place is about to move to a new location. And so I was having this conversation actually, you know, with my wife. You know, she was like, well, you know, I'm really excited that they're actually going to be moving because I know they won't move those air handlers, so they'll buy new air handlers, you know, finally.
Well, they're going to have to get those shelves up off the floor with a shovel for sure or something.
For sure.
14 tons.
They're probably going to find more cigars that they forgot about in that place.
Oh, absolutely.
And patrons.
It's been around for...
Yeah, they might find patrons in
behind the couch in the back room.
This place has been around for, you know, quite a while, but I, you know...
Great people, by the way.
I think that was a great start right there. Is, you know, look, I... There are some cigar lounges I come home from, and I just want to just light my clothes on fire after I get back, instead of even trying to wash anything two or three
times. I like
times,
to roll around in them and put them in my bed and use them as pillows and sleep with them.
My wife makes me strip down in the garage and hoses me down before
I'm,
I come
I'm
in.
I'm in the same category.
Get a de-lousing before you come in.
It is a de-lousing process.
Is what she's looking for.
She takes the garage, the car scrubber and scrubs me from a distance.
I've seen it. It's weird.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things I'm really kind of, you know, very sensitive to is, you know, kind of the general, you know, financial component, you know, of running a cigar lounge. And, you know, this definitely has some variability, but look, if you're walking into a cigar lounge and you didn't buy anything there, I mean, it's customary for a place to have a cut fee, you know, maybe, you know,
or like a BYOB cork fee.
$2, $5, $10, whatever, you know, they're charging.
Pay the man.
I mean, seriously,
if you're sitting in the chair.
That's right.
And you're smoking a cigar. Pay something.
Buy a cigar from them.
Yeah.
That right there.
If you bought it on the internet, smoke it on the internet.
There you go. I like that phrase, you know, and I wish
unless
that
it was a gift.
Yeah. And there are, you know, I've seen people walk into a lounge and I'm like, you don't do this often, you know, and that's okay. And I mean, some cigar lounges, they have it clearly, you know, posted on a sign. Mm-hmm. It's not like some big, you know, rule wonder what I should do or not. You know, I'm like, dude, there's a sign. Seriously. You know,
well, I think and one of the things that you're missing, if you're just using them to shelter you from the weather or whatever the case may be, you don't know what's in that humidor. Right, you don't really know what they carry, so it's always good to pop a head in, look for something new, right? Look for something exciting, something you haven't tried. Ask one of the shop people, one of the tobacconists that works there, right? And kind of get their two cents on some things that they're kind of jazzed about. And then, buy a stick, man.
And if they say they don't smoke, then leave.
Yeah.
Hey. Good point.
But, yeah, buy a stick, you know, lean into the opportunity that you have for community and camaraderie in there, because you meet every different, you know, walk of life. And I think that's one of our favorite things here, you know, at this table about that is, you know, we all do something a little bit different. We all have, you know, different viewpoints and things that we're, you know, passionate about, and sitting down and having a smoke and just being able to hash that out and have those conversations is, you know, about 75% of the experience.
I just think also on that, be mindful about who you're around but when your conversation too. You know, there's a lot of people that use cigar shops as their workspace. You know, they'll go in there and spend hundreds of dollars and sit there all day. You know, or some people will spend nothing and sit there all day. And that's what you don't want to do.
Well, and I see it as, you know, a social outlet, you know, for you know, a group of people as well. I mean, the same shop that, you know, Rich and I go into, I mean, it's the same 18 people on their deathbed.
I used to go to that shop all the time.
You know, that they go in, they bitch, whine, and complain about the same thing every single day. You know, walk in.
Oh, my gout's flaring up today.
You know,
it's a groundhog day.
I'm sitting there, you know, in the chair, and unfortunately, the internet had... There was an outage, and so the TV wasn't on at all. And then, you know, usually right now, you're staring at the top of people's heads. They're all staring down at their phone. I'm just as guilty, you know, of that sitting there. And so I would say that those days of having really what I would describe as some fairly interesting and enriching conversations, I think those days are long gone, because I really find that the conversations move into, well, this is my platform, because I know you're stuck here smoking a cigar and you're going to listen to me because you don't have anything else to do.
That's right.
And they're not going to waste a good $15 cigar.
And what they don't realize is that I have two legs. I can get up and walk out of the room because I don't want to hear whatever is your agenda of the day. And so I mean, I think you just have to realize you're always in mixed company, and
that's why I say be mindful about what you're talking about.
Just can you not piss into the fan, you know, in front of everybody at the same time, you know? Pick a topic. Talk about women's volleyball. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? But